Thursday edition of Locked On Lions. Chris Burke from The Athletic joins us. Some news off the field and also on, as we got an injury to talk about on a Thursday. Let's go.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Heyo, let's do this on a Thursday, June the 9th, and a Friday, June 10th. It is Locked On Lions on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry with you. Find us wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate you making us your first listen each and every day. And we are also on YouTube. That's right. Subscribe to the channel, Locked On Lions, and you can watch said podcast each and every day. Chris Burke from TheAthletic.com, one of the Lions beat writers, is going to join us momentarily. We'll talk to Chris about the days of minicamp. 3 days in the books, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The Lions will have some OTAs coming up next week and then break away for a little bit for a break before training camp begins, of course, in late July. But here we go with the minicamp, training camp. I mean, we're getting close to football, just like it'll be here before you know it. We don't really have a summer anymore here, so it feels like fall will be here any moment. Follow us on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions on Twitter, and also the Matt Derry Facebook fan page, and again, the YouTube channel as well. Coming up on the show today, Chris Burke, like I mentioned, Jameson Williams. Doesn't sound like he's going to be ready for the season. Dan Campbell has an update on him today in training camp. Lions make an addition to the front office as well. First things first, though, I don't know how many of you have watched the new edition of Inside the Den. It's like 50-minute video of behind-the-scenes footage of Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell and, of course, football guru Rod Wood all sitting there at the table with the Ford family and going through the draft picks and the Aiden Hutchinson pick and then the trade and getting on the phone with the Vikings GM to get Jameson Williams. It's really good video. I think it's a little bit slappy at times. I think Holmes and Campbell are, like, playing for the cameras. It's a bit over the top, but give the Lions credit. Their behind-the-scenes team does a really good job with some of these videos. So if you're a giant Lions fan and you want, like, you know, access that you've never had before, you got to watch this thing on the Lions website. And, of course, Hard Knocks is coming up momentarily as well, so that should be exciting. And that's not a Lions production. That's a NFL production. Locked On Lions today brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Lions listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use Locked On at checkout. All right, news of the day. First things first, Jameson Williams has not been participating in practice. Of course, the torn ACL last year in the national championship game. Lions took him anyway, moved up to get him. Today, Dan Campbell was asked about Williams' status and if he'd be ready for training camp. Remember, Williams said, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be out there in late July for training camp. Today, Dan Campbell, quote, I don't see him being ready for training camp. I'm very hopeful, but I don't see it. We're going to do this thing the right way, and when he's ready, he's ready. But no, I don't feel like we're going to see him day one, end quote. Very disappointing. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just making a point that this was the guy that I feel like is going to really change this offense. I think he's going to be a game breaker. I think he's going to be incredible. I don't think Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to have the year he had last year. But I think Jameson Williams can just be awesome. He's a beast. And I'm so excited the Lions got him, and now I'm ticked off because it sounds like they're going to be extra careful with him. He'll start probably the season on the physically unable to perform list. He'll start training camp on the PUP list. And so we're going to be talking about the fifth and sixth receiver spots and Khalif Raymond and Quintez Cephas and Khalil Pimpleton and guys like that, Tom Kennedy. That's going to be the discussion for a Trinity Benson for right now. So it's kind of a downer for sure, but they want to make sure that he's healthy, ready to play, and not going to aggravate that injury in any way. But that's pretty big news, certainly, if you don't have J-Mo for the start of the season. So a little bit disappointing, but not that surprising. Number two from today. Report started servicing out of Los Angeles, and then Dan Campbell sort of confirmed it today, but Brandon Sosna, who's sort of been a football administrator at USC and like an assistant in the athletic department, a young go-getter guy that has experience in the NFL as an assistant capologist in Cleveland under John Dorsey, of course, now with the Lions. Lions tried to hire this kid last year in August out of USC, and he didn't go. Then he helped get Lincoln Riley to the Trojan program. Today, the Lions have hired him. He is being hired as a director of football administration, and we'll ask Chris Burke about it, but you know, these are the Lions have a couple of young guys. And don't get me wrong, I don't think Mike Disner is the next Bill Walsh or Carmen Policy here, or gosh, I don't know why I said Bill Walsh or Carmen Policy. Ron Wolf, you know, I don't think that's the case, but the Lions love him. And I think that this kid, Sosna, is going to be doing a lot of what Disner was doing. And, you know, and therein lies the rub. But the Lions adding a young, exciting football mind to the front office has to be applauded. It's interesting. I don't know if Disner thinks he's going to be a GM somewhere else and is going to leave soon. Lions have a lot of chefs in the kitchen. You know, Chris Spielman's there. John Dorsey's there. I mean, watch the videos at DetroitLions.com of the draft room. It's packed in there. But Sosna is well-respected, and the Lions tried to grab him last year, and they got him today. So kudos to the Lions for adding to their front office. It's pretty exciting. Chris Burke from The Athletic coming up next. Got to tell you, though, about our friends at BlueNile.com. Listen, whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools at the website that lets you choose the diamond shape for this ring, the size, the clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. Guys, we don't know what we're doing with this, right? You may know the shape. You might know it. Look, I gotta get a big rock on her finger, right? Well, the experts can help you at BlueNile.com. If you're looking for fine jewelry, having trouble choosing, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7 on the website, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Lions listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use the code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com. That's Blue, B-L-U-E, Nile.com today. Do it. And let's welcome him in, everybody, from TheAthletic.com. Covers the Lions, Chris Burke. Our buddy joins us now after 3 days of mandatory minicamp. Chris, good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, nice to get the video here. Nice to see your face as we're talking.
And don't get used to this. I don't know. I'm, you know, it's funny. I got an email today from Ross, who runs the NFL Network. He goes, "Oh, the YouTube page is blowing up." I'm like, oh. Because I don't know, as you know, I'm a radio guy, but this is, it's been fun. It's been okay, but it is good to see you. What was the last 3 days like? What's the first highlight or takeaway that you have from everybody mandatorily, at least having to be there?
I think the first takeaway, I mean, I think there'll be a lot of talk about Ben Johnson and the offense for sure coming out of there. But for me, it was watching the defense. You know, they talked about wanting to be more aggressive up front and having guys that can move around and everything. And I think you see that with the defensive linemen, at least. I mean, I think the linebackers, the secondary, they still got to get all that settled. But, you know, the defensive front looks to me like it's got a lot of versatile pieces and a lot of guys that can get after the quarterback, which haven't been able to say that too often in the past. So, I don't know. We'll see if it holds up once it's real. But it seems like there's more options up there for them, at least.
You referenced the secondary. A lot of injuries right now. Are you concerned at all about the health of the defensive backs and what that will mean? Obviously, we're not playing until September, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if concern is the word, but certainly it makes it a little tougher to figure it out. People keep asking, you know, Will Harris has been starting, you know, starting quote unquote the past 3 days and at cornerback, and people keep asking, is he going to go back to safety? And I keep telling them it sort of depends. Like, if you, we don't know what Okuda is going to look like. We don't know what Jerry Jacobs is going to look like when that those returns are happening. And without them, I think you need Will Harris at cornerback. So, and same thing at safety. You know, Deshaun Elliott missed all 3 days. Melifonwu's been playing safety, but he missed all 3 days. So, I don't know. It's hard to kind of put the pieces together right now. I mean, I do think Will Harris looks better at corner than he ever did at safety,
well,
for what it's worth. So,
yeah, is that that's not saying much.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I think that that's always that entire back end, you know, linebacker and cornerback, safety, like those are spots where things have to really kind of fall into place for them if they're going to be good this year. And I don't know that you can say that they're falling into place yet, but we'll see.
You know, it's interesting. The optimism, Chris, has been crazy. And yet, like you mentioned, the additions on defense, most of the key ones have been up front, where when healthy, they aren't that bad there. And now they're kind of, I'm not saying they're stacked there, but how do you see that playing out, especially if Josh Pascal gets out there, in terms of reps and amount of times we'll see Aiden Hutchinson on the field with Romeo or Pascal or even Charles Harris? That's a lot of guys.
Yeah, Romeo is one that, I mean, I guess that's another one you're kind of waiting and see. And at this point, is he going to be ready for week one? I don't know. We haven't seen him do anything other than walk out of the field the past 3 days. So, but yeah, I mean, when he's in there, I mean, I think you're probably looking at Romeo and, you know, maybe probably Aiden as your bigger ends and that those base defenses. But Michael Brockers has been taking some reps there. Charles Harris has been taking some reps there. And again, that's why when I say they're moving around a bunch of pieces, I think that was just trying to get a feel for what it's going to look like. And I don't, you know, when I say they're playing their base defense, like four-man front, I don't know how much it's going to, like, they're not going to play 4-3. And so I think a lot of it's going to be moving around. Julian Okora seems like he's a guy that they want to have on the field and find some spots for. And Onzarike McNeil inside. I mean, I think to me that's the more interesting thing. I think they have plenty of guys they can play off the edge, you know, with Hutchinson and the Okoras and Harris. And,
right.
You know, Brockers can play out there. Who's going to be inside? I think they like McNeil a lot. They like Onzarike a lot. Brockers can play in there. Some of Pascal, certainly, you know, that's where he'll be pass rushing from. But that's where I think it needs to come together a little bit more. I think the edge guys will be there. I think they have enough options to be on the edge. It'll be a matter of how they sort of shuffle inside and make sure they're not giving up, you know, 200 yards rushing again like we saw happen a couple times last year.
Yeah, no question about it. And the team that gouged them last year is coming in for week one.
Right, first game,
First game, same, like rematch and all that stuff. Chris Burke from The Athletic joining us here on a Thursday edition of Locked On Lions. Let me ask you about the linebackers because you mentioned it. And Jeff Risden writes this all the time. The notion of maybe having a single linebacker on the field, like one, and then all these DBs and all these rush ends on the – That's not out of the realm of possibility, which means there will be some cuts, I would assume, in August for might be some familiar faces at linebacker that might go, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. Obviously, a lot of those guys play on special teams too, and they place a big priority on that. So you'll keep some of them just to do that. But, yeah, I mean, I think some of this is how you want to designate guys. Like, are we talking about Julian Okora as a linebacker, I guess,
right?
Or is
yeah.
he an edge guy? Is he a defensive lineman? I think, but if you're talking about those true off-ball linebackers, yeah, I mean, most of what we've seen so far has been, I'm trying to think of any times we've been out there the last 3 days where we saw them play with three off-ball linebackers. I don't know that it happened at all. So you're talking about, it's mostly been like Anzalone and Board with the first defense, and then Barnes and like Sean Dean Hamilton and those guys with the second defense, and then Malcolm Rodriguez is cycling through, and I think that's mostly what it's going to be. Yeah, nickel, dime packages. Maybe you go even heavier up front and you're playing like a 5-2 type look sometimes. So I think that, yeah, the numbers there are going to be really interesting. Are you keeping six or seven linebackers when, yeah, you only need three to get through a game? I don't know. I think that'll be really interesting. Yeah, some of the, like, I don't think, like, Derek Barnes isn't on the chopping block or anything, but he's going to have to really be good in August if he's going to play, because I think they like Chris Board. They think he can play in coverage. They still like Alex Anzalone a lot. We'll see there. You know, he was not great last year, but
no.
And Rodriguez looks good. So yeah, I mean, there's some options, but that's one that's. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to quite sort that yet.
Well, you just mentioned like 20 people, and you didn't even say Jarrett. You didn't even say Jarrett Davis, which is good. Good news.
And that's another one. I don't know that you really would count him as a linebacker right now. What we've seen from him, like he played in some of those off-ball positions the past 3 days, and he was cycling through with the second and third team. But most of what we saw from him was they used him to rush off the edge, and they used him, you know, to show some blitzes over the center, which is some of the stuff that, like, when Matt Patricia was here, people kept saying, well, why don't you do more of this with him? That's what he can do. And they didn't really do it, but I think that's going to be – he looks like he's going to have a pretty specialized role if he makes this roster, and then you probably use him a little bit on special teams. And I mean, he's a guy that you can knock the stuff on the field, but there isn't anyone who's not going to like what he does off the field. You know, he's that big-time locker room character guy. They talk about that all the time. So, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he slots in more with sort of those specialized role players, sub-package guys, than he does with the actual linebackers.
I want to ask you about the Jameson Williams news that came out today, new addition to the front office, the David Blau show from Tuesday. We'll do that with Chris Burke coming up next. First, though, I want to tell you about our friends at Built Bar. Don't you love a chewy, chocolatey brownie? Absolutely you do. What about a caramel brownie with caramel swirled on top? So good. What if I told you can have all of that in one plus 17 grams of protein? Your luck, because caramel brownie bars at Built Bar are back and available at Built.com right now. You got to act now and act fast because they're a fan favorite and could go soon. Forget about dessert. Built Bar is better than dessert. They're good for you. 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 4 grams of sugar. I'd replace a regular brownie with Built's Caramel Brownie Bar in a heartbeat. Best part, they're 100% covered in real chocolate. We've been talking about Built Bars for a couple of years now. They are fantastic, and we love that they're still with us here on Lockdown. Million reasons you should try Built Bars, but now just get that Caramel Brownie Built Bar and try it at Built.com. Go to the website, Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. I'm more with Chris Burke from The Athletic. Are you and Nick back with the podcast? Are you on hiatus? What's going on?
We were on hiatus for about a month there after the draft because I think we all needed to
a break.
Take a couple days off. We're back now. Yeah, one of these years is should be semi-weekly for the next couple months until training camp. And then,
nice.
Yeah, back on a regular basis then.
Check out Chris and Nick Baumgartner again at theathletic.com covering the Lions, and Nick kind of all over the place doing football and local football stuff as well in college. All right, the offense. The news today from Dan Campbell, not good if you're a Jameson Williams fan. I'm a big slappy for him, and I was hoping he'd be ready by training camp. But, you know, Dan Campbell, he's honest, right, Chris? He's a beat writer's dream. He's like, I don't think so. What do you think?
I think this was their expectation all along, was that he wasn't going to be there for at least the start of camp, and then you kind of hope you can ease him back in at some point. But if you know, he's probably on that pup list to start camp, and I think the realistic target is that 6 week window. You have to leave a guy on the pup list, and then if he can accelerate it, that'd be great. And I will say, I think Jameson Williams is trying to accelerate it. I mean, I get the feeling that they're just like tying him down, holding him back, because he wants to be out there. And even just to do like what Jeff Okuda's been doing, where he's running sprints and doing change of direction drills and stuff, I think Jameson Williams, just you can tell he's itching to get out there. So it's going to be a challenge if he has to sit there through all of camp and watch guys practice. But I don't think it was a big surprise. I think that they're hoping he's making a big impact in the second half of next year. And if it's in the first half, that's a boost for them, but I don't know that they were ever expecting that.
It's crazy. Last year, that's all we talked about was how poor the receiving core was. Now you're listening to Dan Campbell say Khalif Raymond is, you know, so explosive, and Quintez Cephas has had a really good 3 days. How do you kind of look? Okay, let's say Jameson's not ready. Who are the 5-6 guys? Does Pimpleton have a chance? How do you kind of view that position?
I mean, I think those top three are pretty set. Shark, St. Brown, and Josh Reynolds, that looks locked in. To me, Quintez Cephas and Khalif Raymond, you know, Khalif Raymond, they love Khalif Raymond. He had a good year for them last year. I think they know what he is. Cephas is interesting because he's always a guy Dan Campbell talks about. You know, he shows up in the competitive spots. You know, he comes out to practice, he looks really good. You put him in a game, he looks really good. And the way he talks, you're almost like, well, is he not showing up in the meeting? Like, what's happening? You know, is he not a guy that does as well in the meeting rooms, does as well when the media is out there at practice? But for whatever reason, he does perform well when he needs to. And I think I'd have a hard time getting rid of him with how he's played when he's been healthy and the ways he can get open and you can use him all over. So to me, I think the big question, if Jameis isn't ready, is are you carrying five or are you carrying six into the season? And then you talk about, you mentioned Pimpleton. I think he's been good so far. Trinity Benson's been great in, you know, for a few weeks.
Oh, good Lord.
In June. Corey Sutton's kind of interesting if you want another big guy on the outside. I don't know. Pimpleton's the one that's going to be really fun to watch, I think, in camp and in the preseason. But he's also the exact same role that Khalif Raymond would play.
Yeah, so same size, too.
Is Khalif Raymond – I mean, I think Khalif Raymond's safe, but that would be, you know, if Pimpleton blows up and Raymond struggles, maybe you make that swap. So I think the question is, are you carrying five or six, and then can one of those guys sneak on as the sixth? But I think, you know, Cephas to me feels safer than people seem to talk about a lot of the time.
What about, you know, I joked before about David Blau, but he had a really good day on Tuesday. And, you know, backup quarterback's not going to get a ton of ink around here. If Jared Goff doesn't play well or gets hurt, the season's going to be in trouble anyway. But, you know, is Blau the guy ahead of Boyle, or is this the dumbest conversation we can have?
Well, I don't know. It's so as fascinating as that conversation can get, because I think we watched him all last August and everyone who was out there, you know, the media was out there for practice thought Blau was, I think so for most of us, Blau was better than Boyle.
Right.
And then Dan Campbell, the coaching staff, were pretty adamant that Boyle was their number two until he got hurt. And same thing this year. You know, you go in there and you see Blau making plays and having a big day like that. And then Campbell said Thursday, well, we think it's Boyle right now, and Blau will have a chance, but it's probably Boyle right now. And so they clearly like him. I mean, I won't tell you, that was a really good day for Boyle or for Blau on Tuesday. Boyle was good Wednesday. And then they came out today and it was pretty bad for both. Blau threw a pick to Bobby Price, I think. Bobby Price was just standing there. He didn't really even have to do anything. He was just on the sideline and made the grab. And then Boyle came in and tried to run a double move, a little pump and go, and he somehow got it swatted down by the nose tackle. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think you feel great about winning games if either of those guys is in there, but it feels a lot like last year, where Blau's probably going to play better than Boyle a lot of the days in August, but Boyle's the guy they like more.
Chris, could you see the Ben Johnson stamp? I mean, it's 3 days, it's a mini camp, but still, could you see Ben Johnson, this Jared Goff sort of, we're going to go back to the LA days and find plays to help him? Is that noticeable yet?
I think it was noticeable to a point. I mean, they talked a lot about how the tempo is different and how the, you know, the verbiage is simpler for them. And that's hard to get a feel for because they're not running a lot of, they did some 2 minute stuff, but it's hard to get a feel for, you know, them going to up tempo and the defense on the field. I think what you do see is that Jared Goff looks just in general a lot more comfortable, which I think is partially due to that he's been here for a year. Some of it's Ben Johnson. Some of it's he's got a rapport with those a few of those guys in that room. And then the other thing for me is what we saw over the second half of last year is that a lot of the play calls, a lot of the, you know, sort of the alignments and the motions and everything look designed to sort of make things easier for Jared Goff, if that makes sense. You know, it's not where he's got to get through three, four, five reads to get to his guy. It's we're going to roll you to the right. There's going to be a guy crossing. That's who we want you to hit. And we'll get him into space and we'll get the ball out of your hands. And you know, if we get a chance to go downfield later, we'll do that. But I think you're going to see a lot of, I think the things that have jumped out so far is there's going to be a lot of moving the parts around. Like, I don't think Shark's just going to play the X and St. Brown's just going to play the slot. Like, they're going to mix and match a lot in there. They're going to get Hockenson and Swift out into space on the edges a lot. So yeah, I think you can feel some of that already, but, you know, I always sort of hesitate to, like, overhype Ben Johnson before we've seen him actually call a game, and Jared Goff, because we know what the ceiling is there, I think. So we'll see. I don't know, but it definitely looks smoother so far.
That's good. Final thing for Chris Berg from The Athletic, the addition of Brandon Sosna today, this young, you know, very impressive football administrator from USC. I know the Lions have been after him for a while. What do you think lured him this time?
I mean, the John Dorsey connection certainly helped. That was a guy that, you know, Dorsey loved. And I think some of it, too, is that we've heard so much about Mike Disner over the past couple of years as their cap guy, and now he's their COO, and I think they just keep moving him up their ladder, and they want to sort of expand his footprint in that building. And, what, you know, they don't want him to be just the, you know, quirky cap guy anymore. They want him in every facet of that operation. So I think it made sense in that regard to bring in, you know, sort of another rising young cap guy to help. So, yeah, I mean, Dan Campbell didn't offer a whole lot about what the actual role would be. I'm sure Brad Holmes will fill us in at some point, but from all everything you hear about the guy, it sounds like someone you want in the organization. So it feels like a smart hire, but you know, obviously it's, a lot of it's going to be behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, a lot of chefs in the kitchen that 222 Rod Wood Drive. It's, It's did you watch the videos that the Lions put out? That, oh my gosh, it was like a party in that draft room. My God,
yeah, it's
they do a good job.
They do a really good. The video team does a great job there. Yeah. I mean, I think that this front office, I think too, is probably more willing to be open to things like that. Than
yeah,
the previous
I would
front
say
office.
So.
but yeah, I mean, I think we had the sense that draft weekend went. For the most part, the way that they wanted it to. And, you know, they obviously can cut the tape up any way they want. But I got the feeling watching it that, you know, they weren't reaching on a lot of those picks. It was guys that they'd targeted for a while. So if you trust them, if you think they're doing a good job, that's a good thing.
I'm just looking forward to seeing you on Hard Knocks. I'm trying to think
of a waiver, man. I'm trying to hide in the back. And
oh, come on, Chris. I know that's not your style, but, you know, maybe Burkett and his hat or something.
Yeah,
will be on there.
Yeah. I'll let some of those other guys get out there. Kyle Mikey, you know, let them have the spotlight.
I could see that. I could see Kyle with some facial hair concoction or something. But all right, brother, good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Yep. See you later.
There he is, Chris Berg from The Athletic, joining us here on a Thursday edition of Locked On Lions. Thanks for making us your first listen today here on the program.